the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, it's a beautiful morning. The sky was so clear. All the stars were out when I arrived.
Oh, man.
Very
it's
pretty.
Been beautiful.
Yes. Well, today is the memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. If you visit the Baton Rouge station, you are greeted by a beautiful painting by Jacob Zumo of Our Lady of Sorrows. She is magnificent. So we'll start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who willed that when your Son was lifted high on the cross, his mother should stand close by and share his suffering, grant that your church, participating with the Virgin Mary in the passion of Christ, may merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever, amen. Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We have a full show for you today, starting off with events in our listening area. Damian will give you details about that in 10 minutes. David Dawson Jr. joins us. He's the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. And every Thursday, he talks about marriage and family lives, kind of gives us some tips on how we can be closer to our family, closer to our spiritual life. Well, today's topic is quite interesting. What are the spiritual benefits of daily cleaning around the house? I don't know about you guys, but I'm constantly cleaning in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So how can we make that more spiritual and our daily activities? So looking forward to speaking with Dave. Deacon Mark Pennington joins us in 35 minutes. He's a deacon over at St. Luke Catholic Church in Slidell. And today he's going to be talking about his vocation story to the diaconate in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And Father Paul Yee joins us in 48 minutes. He's a pastor over at St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. And we're going to be talking about the Eucharist, the Eucharistic revival, and of course, that reminder that we try to bring you every week now on how we can grow closer in the Eucharist and with our Lord. So it's going to be a great show. And Damian, I don't know about you, but I have been loving this weather.
Oh,
it has been
goodness, so nice.
Just
boy,
beautiful.
It is. It's almost like a little taste of fall, but plenty of sunshine, which is always good. It's good for the body, good for the soul. And just like yesterday, we're going to have another beautiful day, breezy. Winds out of the east, northeast at about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Expect the same type of conditions, not only for tomorrow, but also all the way through next Friday. At least that's what the forecast is calling for. So with the low humidity, the temperatures aren't that bad. Even though they're in the upper 80s, doesn't feel like it. Lows are in the 60s, usually around 65, 66 at night. That just makes for a gorgeous evening as well. And you can look outside, as Alicia said, see the stars. We had a full moon earlier in the week. I just enjoy that. Tomorrow, as I said, clear skies, and expect the same for about the next 7 days. Temperatures in and around the area, Houma Thibodaux, Bay St. Louis, both reporting 67-degree temperatures right now. The warm spot, New Orleans, 74. It's also 64 degrees in Covington and in Baton Rouge. So, you've been enjoying the weather?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Doing anything out
nice.
In the yard or just sitting out
just
there frolicking among the flowers?
Realizing that I need to do a little, it's time to power wash the patio and that kind of stuff.
You we'll know? Get it. So the windows of the house.
Yep. Just that time when it's not sweltering out, it's a good time.
Well, good, because when David Dawson Jr. comes on board, you guys could talk more about that.
That's
as well.
Right.
It's 5 after on a Thursday morning.
Thank you. blessed memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. Today's Gospel is taken from John chapter 19. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his home. We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
In a few words, John makes a simple statement. Standing by the foot of the cross of Jesus were his mother, which served as an introduction to Jesus saying to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." In this poignant scene, we also find the fulfillment of Simeon's prophecy. "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and of a sign that is spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." We gain insight into Mary's suffering in the words spoken to Father Gobi in prayer. "How much blood my eyes have seen today. His hair is soaked with it. His face is bathed in it. His hands and feet are torn, and his whole body is marked with deep wounds. Behold my sorrow. See if there is a greater sorrow than mine. He is unable to walk. He totters. There is not one gesture of pity. Only hatred, hostility, and indifference surround him. Oh, the glance of my son at that moment. In my heart there's opened a womb which has never healed. I am at his side to help him die. I feel the nails which pierce his flesh, the tearing of his body hung in the gibbet, his labored breathing. I hear his voice as it grows weaker, with words of prayer and pardon, and he appears to me to be dying. But I continue to live beneath the cross with a pierced heart and a wounded soul, still miraculously alive because, as a mother, I must help my son to die. No one will ever understand the hidden mystery of this moment. And now, my sorrow bursts forth as a flooding river bursts through all its embankments. My tears bathe his face, my laments cradle his body, and with my hands I close the deep wounds while my immaculate heart becomes his first sepulcher. Mary endured this suffering for us. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sayers.
Welcome back to Wake Up, 10 after the hour. So glad you could join us. And there's a number of events taking place in and around our area, so we want to share those with you. In particular, Catholic Man Night, which is our big fundraiser for Catholic Community Radio, an opportunity for men to get together for fellowship, is going to be held November 2nd from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. You and your fellow brother Catholics and non-Catholics as well can join us at the White Oak Estates and Gardens is where it's going to be taking place. John Foles is always hosting us. This year's event will begin with an amazing strolling buffet. We had that last year. It worked out so well. We're doing it again. And we're going to assure everyone that the weather's going to be perfect too, by the way. Following dinner, there's always fellowship with cigars, and everyone then gets to sit down, have some dessert, and we listen to our guest speaker. Guess who it is this year? Anybody want to guess?
I have an idea.
I will share it.
It's Coach Palmineri.
Yes, former LSU Coach Palmineri, who just got inducted to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, along with nine others. And I'm sure he's going to share some stories about that as well. Reservations, if you'd like to participate, just $125 gets you everything. We're going to some nice raffle items as well. If you want to get there early, like an hour ahead of time, you could join the Fraternity of the Leaf, and that is just a special, fraternity for selected men who want to participate and give a little bit more to Catholic Community Radio. The beautiful part about that is you get to get there early. And John Foltz is going to take us on a tour and a tasting and everything else that goes on behind the scenes at White Oak Estate.
Right. So, and Coach Paul Maneri will be there for that, too. So
yes.
You get a little elbow rubbing with him, right?
Cool.
A little
if you want to rub his elbow, feel free to do so. But if not, you could talk to him, and I'm sure he'll be just as appreciative. In the meantime, if you want to learn more, get reservations. CCRadio.live is where you go. CCRadio.live. The reason I'm sharing that, we've got a lot of guys. Already signed up.
We do.
You know, so there is limited seating, but hey, we'll make room for you. Hopefully, if you wait too long, though, you're probably going to be out of luck.
That's
so
right. That's
enough
right.
about all yep. that. But Catholic Man Night, November 2nd,
that's right.
6 to 9 at White Oak Estates in Baton Rouge.
It's ccradio.live, and it's right on the homepage, so you can get that information right there. So there's an event happening in the Archdiocese on September 19th. That's already next week. It's called Finding God in Your Everyday Life Experiences. It's a workshop at the Archdiocesan Spirituality Center. It will be in person from 10:30 a.m. to noon, or you can attend virtually from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. It's a presentation by Spiritual Director Jean Burmaster, and it's a workshop that will help you learn the importance of reflecting on your everyday life experiences, recognizing the presence of God in those experiences, and to learn a method of reflection on the action of God in your life. There is a suggested donation of $30 per person to register. You can register at nolacatholic.org/ASC. And I'm sure Gabby will link that in our comment section of our Facebook feed this morning.
Yes, I will. And let's take it over to the Diocese of Biloxi on Saturday, September 24th at St. Michael Church in Biloxi. They are having a speak retreat. It's called Sisters Praying, Encouraging, and Inspiring to Know God. So speak. It's a prayer group that will be hosting an all-day retreat. The theme will explore the book of Jeremiah, like I said, on Saturday, September 24th at St. Michael Catholic Church in Biloxi from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. It will be open to both men and women, and you will have an opportunity to participate in adoration, confession, as well as a 5 p.m. Mass. So check-in begins at 8, and for more information, you can go to you can register at ministry@gmail.com. So ministry@gmail.com. So sounds like a fun
there's
event.
There's a deadline for that. You got to register by Tuesday, September 20th. To
yes,
get into that
that's
one.
Why that's Gabby's plugging it now.
There you go. That's right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, don't go too far because things are rocking and rolling on this Thursday morning. Hopefully you're up and at it. It's currently 15 after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 15th. Today, we celebrate Our Lady of Sorrows. Today, the Church honors the woman who knew suffering throughout her life, especially as she stood fearlessly at the cross while others fled. The principal biblical references to Mary's sorrows are in the Gospels of Luke and John. Mary first learned of the pain she would face when Simeon encountered her in the temple with her young son. Luke tells us that Simeon advised Mary that a sword would pierce her heart. Simeon's prediction came true with the flight into Egypt. Jesus' temporary separation from his family during their time in Jerusalem, Mary's poignant encounter with Jesus as he made his way to Calvary, the crucifixion itself, the taking of his body down from the cross, the burial of Jesus. John relates Jesus' last words to Mary and to his beloved disciple. Many early church writers interpreted the sword as Mary's sorrows, thus bringing together the passages of prediction and fulfillment. St. Ambrose in particular sees Mary as a sorrowful yet powerful figure at the foot of the cross. She looked on her son's wounds not with pity, but saw in them the salvation of the world. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quivido and Damian Collado. Our first guest today is David Dawson, Jr. He's the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. Hey, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are we doing?
We're doing great and looking forward to talking about the spiritual benefits of daily cleaning around the house. Take it away, Dave.
Yeah, so one of the things, obviously it can feel like a grind and that it's never going to end. And the things that are hard, we kind of, naturally are like, all right, when's this going to be over? I can do this as long as I know when this is going to end. But the daily chores around the house especially don't ever end. And so it can feel like this is one of those things that just sucks the life out of us. But it's funny, when it took me a little while to learn about this, but when God put Adam in the garden, he told him to cultivate the garden. And this is before sin entered the world, before he had, work by the sweat of your brow was a consequence of sin. But he told Adam to cultivate the garden. And like it struck me that he put him in there and he basically, to give Adam the garden as a human being, he's not an animal, right? He's not just running around using stuff and eating it and, leaving dirt everywhere and all those other things, he put him in the garden and he gave him the ability to cultivate it. Like he gave him ownership. So obviously God's the only one who owns everything. We're just, we're allowed to receive it as gift. But as human beings, our receiving stuff as gift is to take ownership of it and to participate in, stewardship of it. Like Adam gets to cultivate. He gets to cultivate the garden, which means that he gets to work hand in hand to take ownership of it. And I think, when I think about when I was growing up as a kid, I didn't like cleaning my room. I didn't like cleaning up around the house. I would wear the same thing every day and never wash it if I could. Mom never let me, but I would if I could, but there's a certain, because it wasn't mine. I didn't care. If it's not mine, I hated to mow the grass as a kid, but now this yard is mine and I'm not a huge fan of sweating it out, and having to mow the grass, but I want it looking good. I want it to be ship shape because there's a certain level of ownership, right? There's a level of and when it does look good and when I've done that, it's such a good, fulfilling feeling. And I think there's a certain human maturity and a spiritual maturity and a taking joy in, I can't really take joy in receiving the gift if I don't take it and make it my own, right? So I think there's a certain joy in the giftedness that comes with cleaning up around the house.
I think so too. And also getting the family involved, especially at a young age.
Yeah.
Our kids at different ages can be responsible for different things that are appropriate for their age. It's very helpful for me when my son cleans his own bathroom and he keeps it neat and tidy, or when we're cleaning the kitchen and we work together as a family, we've all kind of pitched in and doing that. But also it can be challenging, Dave, when we don't feel like dusting the house or mopping the floors, sometimes that's not fun to do, or we're exhausted and we know we have to do, we have that small little window. How do we get past that barrier of we have to do this, but we really don't have the energy to do it?
Yes. I think the key here is, like I said, there's a certain, before the world has fallen, before life is a burden, in the Garden of Eden, the cultivation is a gift, which I think that to be able to look at my house and be like, look, I've received an incredible gift here. I've been in other countries where the house that I have looks like a palace to some of these other places, and they're proud of what they got and they love it and they take ownership of it and they keep it clean. They got dirt floors and that kind of thing. And we think about that as just this impoverished, terrible, whatever, but they don't think about it like that. And I think if I look around at my house and I'm like, look, this is an incredible gift that I did not earn, and to be able to take care of it is a participating in the gift. And look, I'm not saying this because I do this perfectly, but I do know the difference in what it feels like to be like, oh my gosh, I got to do this again, mop these flipping floors. Or to be like, look, I've got a large, space here that I get to take care of and we get to enjoy. And then when you're done, it's such a gift to be able to look and see this is good stuff. I have received an incredible gift here. So I think being able to flip from I've got this burden of responsibility to I've got an overwhelming gift in this home and what we've got. And there's a certain level, so then I can whistle while I'm doing the work. I can put some music on. And I got to tell you, when the kids see that attitude in me, when I'm loading the dishwasher or whatever, doing the dishes, it changes the whole attitude of the house. Even if just my wife has an attitude, it changes my attitude. And we're dancing around, getting stuff done. So I think it's just the energy level has everything to do with whether I feel like it's just or unjust that I have to be doing this. Yeah. And when it's a gift, when I see that my house and what I have to do and what I have to clean is a gift, the justice level completely flip-flops, right? And the energy tends to come where I didn't expect it.
Yeah. Yeah, putting music on. I have also found that when I'm doing a task I don't want to do, even putting something like the Bible in a Year, just an episode on, because those episodes could be like 20 to 25 minutes. And when you're listening to Father Mike Schmitz ramble about a very complex Bible verse, it makes dusting go by so quickly. So doing stuff like that, or putting on Catholic radio. But yeah, we put on music and, you know, try to enjoy it. And especially when we finish mowing the lawn, I now know the feeling my dad gets when he steps back with his white dad Skechers and examines the lawn and he's proud of his lawn. You know, as an adult, you know what that is. But I like that. And taking, I don't know if pride's the right word, but like taking, you know, you like having a clean home. It makes you feel good.
Yeah. And I think just in the process, being able to appreciate the engineering that went into, you know, this toilet, right? I mean, it sounds crazy, but like, That's an amazing, you know, product of technology there.
The little things.
It is. And we miss out on that. You know, like we miss out because we're grumbling or whatever. But this is good stuff. I mean, we've got an incredible situation here. And we're sitting on top of a gold mine of gifts. And I think to be able to work through that and honestly helping our kids to do the same, I mean, we are setting them up for real success. And there's a lot of joy in that. So I think gratitude, it's amazing how gratitude completely changes everything.
And you know, Dave, even, and we kind of touched on this earlier, at a young age, letting our kids do some chores around the house that are age appropriate for their, you know, whether they're 3, 4, or even 10 years old. How important is it to kind of start that at a young age and teach them these are your things, you know, treat them with respect, you know, and keep it clean and having them do those chores at a young age?
Yeah, no, it's extremely important. And as a matter of fact, it's hard. It's really hard because we want it done right. You know, I know I'm the worst at that. I want it done right. So I'm like, nah, give me that, you know.
Yeah.
But it's important, especially, and I think starting with, like, just bring your plate from the table to the sink. You know, two hands. Is it going to spill one out of three times? Yeah. You know, are they going to do it poorly? Yeah. You know, but, like, I think being able to participate in what you're doing is a huge help for them. And to recognize, like I said, if the focus is on gratitude and not just like, I got to get this done, it's going to be a little bit easier to get them involved. Because I want to share. I mean, gratitude is something you want to share. The grind is something I want to just get it over with. And if you're going to be a part of this, you're going to slow me down, you know. So I have a huge tendency, and Kate can tell you this, a huge tendency to be like, everybody out the way. I need to grumble my way through this, you know. Nobody has a good day when that's happening.
What about paying your young ones to do some of the chores?
Yeah. So we typically avoid that just because it takes away from the ownership. If I'm paying them to do the chores, then there's a certain level of, that it's ours and we're asking you to do this. We're going to pay you to do this. So there's a little bit less ownership. However, I don't think it's a terrible thing. I think there's a certain level of like economic responsibility too that they do have to learn. So, you know, ours are actually, we'll make money doing chores for other people. Like they'll go mow someone else's yard or wash someone else's dog or something like that. And that tends to help. Or, you know, a lot of times mine will do a lemonade stand or they'll sell their artwork on the corner or something like that. It's amazing how the neighborhood tends to support that kind of thing.
That.
So there are other ways. Yeah.
That's so cute. My husband was a dog walker as a kid. He walked the neighbor's dogs. So, and that's such a cute little job to do, or mow the lawns. There's a kid who mows the lawn in our neighborhood as well. So I love that. David Dawson Jr., Director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Where can we go to find out more information about you and what you do in the diocese?
Yeah, so htdiocese.org is our website. And you just look for OPS, that's the Office of Parish Support. And we got plenty of ways to help you get something going in your parish if you're looking for that youth formation, adult formation, sacramental prep. That's kind of our sweet spot. So we're looking to always help parishes be empowered to do more where they're at, and we're happy to help.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Dave, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Love
All
it.
Right.
This'll buy you America.
Oh, man, I love talking about
well,
that. Yeah, that's what you said earlier before the show.
Right.
I always look at it as
more pleasant to do things when the family's in the kitchen, even if they're just visiting, that I can just open up the dishwasher and unload it just while we're visiting. Nobody has to help, but just it makes it more fun to be.
Yeah. Well, I look at it as some of the chores, especially the ones I don't want to do, as a form of prayer. I kind of offer it up for someone.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. And Damon Dawson Sr. just sent us a picture of his white dad Skechers. You know yard work is about to go down when you see your dad putting on those shoes.
Those,
I don't know if it's a dad
shoes.
Thing, but I love it.
I'm trying to figure out how you
so
keep them white.
That too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially if they're your mother's shoes.
Oh, no, they turn green.
Yeah.
They turn green.
They turn green rather quickly.
I think David's are his special barbecue shoes. I'm not sure if he has special mowing shoes. Do you have special mowing shoes?
No, the only thing white were my shrimp boots.
Aha, there you go.
Growing up in Chalmette.
Yeah,
you know?
You got to have your shoes.
You got to have those.
Oh,
you
Duncan
Reeboks.
It's a mainstay. 5 years old, you inherit those.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I love a clean home. It makes me happy. And so glad to have Dave give us details about that. Deacon Mark Pennington joins us when we come back from the break. He's going to tell us about his vocation story to the diaconate in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Stay with us. It is 5:30 on Wake Up.
After the hour on Wake Up. Happy Thursday morning, everyone. Gabby Smith, Damian Collado, and Alicia Quibito all here to get you up and going. And right now we have as our guest Deacon Mark Pennington. He is a deacon at St. Luke Catholic Church in beautiful Slidell, Louisiana, here to talk about his vocation story to the diaconate in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Deacon Mark, welcome to Wake Up.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, tell us your story. It is an interesting one, to say the least, because you weren't even Catholic roughly 14 years ago, right?
That's correct. I was born and raised baptized Methodist by my parents, and I came into full communion with the church in Easter of 2008. I guess. I had married my wife, Cindy, in 1987, and she's a cradle Catholic. We had three children. We baptized them all Catholic. And for the next 20 years, I'd go to Mass with my family on and off. And, you know, when I first went to the Catholic Church, I just loved the liturgy. I fell in love with it right away. But I always found some excuse to not make the call about RCIA. Cindy never pressured me, but I was always too busy, or it's not the right time, or my goodness, that takes so long, and, you know, just a thousand excuses over the years where I just didn't do it. But the trigger event, actually, for me to make the call was the confirmation of my oldest child, my son. He was going to be confirmed, and, you know, it was one of those things. I just, you know, the Holy Spirit finally just tugged me hard enough, said, man, you need to do this and do it now. Mm. And so I did. I called the RCIA, and I entered RCIA in 2007.
And at that point, were you able to become Catholic before your son's confirmation? The reason I'm asking, did he happen to want you to be a sponsor, but you couldn't be?
No. He had good aunts that were his sponsors. And no, he was confirmed before me. He's been Catholic, full Catholic, longer than I have. But
was Cindy like Saint Monica, where she was praying for you the whole time?
Well, I'm sure she was. I'm thankful that she did. Yeah, she did. But like I said, she never pressured. You know, she knew that it needed to be my decision. She was always supportive. When the kids were little, you know, we'd go to church, and, you know, I failed in a big and large way in my children. I had a sense of responsibility. I knew they needed to be at church. Mm. And so, you know, Dad says we're going to church. Mom says we're going to church. We'd all go to church, you know. Well, they'd all get up and approach after, you know, they were 6 or 7 years old and had received First Communion, and I'm sitting in the pews, you know. And so, you know, that went on for a while, and then, you know, after a while I'd say, you know, y'all go to church, you know, y'all go to church. So I'd send them to church, you know. It's just a horrible failure as a father figure. And then after a while, you know, well, Dad's not going to church. Why do I have to go to church? So the family would fall off, and then I would look and say, no, this is not right. We got to go back. So I'd go back. And we did that for, like I said, while the kids were growing up, you know, a great deal, until I entered the RCIA and got right. And so, you know, we finally did that. And you know, RCIA just opened my eyes to the beauty and the richness and the depth of what our faith offers us each. And I just head over heels in love with it.
Well, that's great. So you become a Catholic, and then not too many years later, what inspired you to become wanting to be a Dinkin?
Well, you know, went through the RCIA and was confirmed, you know, that little voice inside you, and of course at the time I really didn't know what it was, but it, you know, now I know it's the Holy Spirit that said there's more that you need to be doing. And so I joined the Knights of Columbus because I said that's a cool thing, those guys do good work. So I joined the Knights of Columbus, and that satisfied it for a little while, and then that voice comes back, there's more, I need you to do more. And so I joined the fourth degree and you know, was in the Color Corps with the old-fashioned regalia and did all of that. And
wow,
those guys do good work. Mm-hmm. And I did all that. And then I joined the RCIA team and went back and taught because it was such an integral part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And I went back onto the RCIA team for 4 or 5 years. And that feeling of there's more to do went away for a little while, but then it always came back. It always came back. And you know, I thought about the diaconate because I had such respect for those men and all that they do, but and I kept suppressing it and hiding it, and putting it away. But then one session, Deacons Harold Burke and Ron LeBlanc and Paul Augustine said, "Hey, Mark, you need to stay after class." And they pointed to a flyer that their archdiocese had put out, the Office of Permanent Diaconate, and said it's an inquiry session. And you have to go to this. And
wow.
I said, I don't know what that is. You know. And so we went, and my wife and I both went, and she was kind of shocked at the thing because I had never talked to her about any of these feelings of doing more, you know. But we went to the inquiry session, and the joy and the love that we encountered there with all those families, those men, the formation team and all of that, it was just like, it's like, man, I want some more of that. So we'll apply and see what happens. And, you know, Cindy and I, for the first few years, very much, you know, we applied and I got accepted into formation and we went, I said, let's just go one more week, you know, let's go to class one more week, you know, and you're discerning the whole time. And, you know, before I know it, I'm laying on the floor of the cathedral. Archbishop is making me a deacon.
So, Deacon Mark, now that you've been in the role as a deacon for 3 months now, I believe, and even though you were doing a number of the duties in your formative years, share with us your feelings and thoughts in the next minute or so as to what it's like to serve as a deacon. Has anything really changed, or it's just continued to get better, especially since you're serving in your home church parish at St. Luke?
Well, that's a blessing to be at my home church, and it's a really kind of strange. Everything has changed completely, and yet it's all just more of the same. I know that doesn't make much sense, but it's the honor and the privilege of being in the sanctuary while the priest is consecrating the gifts. Mm-hmm. To being that close to heaven, and the honor it is to just to stand there and to serve the people, you know, they come to you, they're talking to you, and sharing their lives with you, and you doing whatever you can to help them through their life and to come closer to Christ. And it's just been more than I ever imagined. And they told us all along that you're going to get a whole lot more out of it than you put into it, and they are so far 100% correct. It's quite a blessing, and it's quite an honor.
Well, that's great, and glad to have you as a deacon for the Archdiocese of New Orleans. I know you're just getting started, but you've got many years and blessings to come. What would you say to someone real quick if they're entertaining or getting that little tug from the Holy Spirit?
Talk to your priest or deacon. Act on it. Don't be afraid. Be not afraid.
Be not afraid.
Be not afraid. Go ahead and make the inquiry see where God's going to take you, and keep your mind open and be open to His will. That's the thing.
Well, that's great. Well, God bless you, and thanks for joining us on Wake Up this morning.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Deacon Mark Pennington, he is deacon at St. Luke Catholic Church in Slidell, and he's one of 16 that became deacons just 3 months ago.
Is that one of the largest classes?
It's pretty large.
It does.
Yeah, that's a nice group of men and doing God's work.
Yes.
And so, so glad to have him on board.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that every time he got a little tug, he answered, right? Join the church, get a little tug. That's awesome.
I'm going to tell you who's going to be tugging on us in just a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Father Paul Yee.
That's right.
From St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. He's coming up next. You won't want to miss this interview. We're so glad you're with us this morning. It's already 45 after the hour on Wake Up.
Good morning. It's 12 minutes before the hour on Wake Up. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. We are looking forward to our next guest, Father Paul Yee. He is the pastor of St. George Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. Good morning, Father Paul.
Well, good morning, Alicia. Good to be invited here. Thank you.
We're so happy to have you with us, and what a wonderful topic. We're talking about the Eucharist and Eucharistic devotion. I'm going to let you just jump right in, Father Paul.
Well, I tell you what, the first time I didn't even realize it was Eucharistic adoration when I first had an experience of it. It was, when I was for a while wandering in the Protestant churches for 2-3 years, and it was at a Catholic church in Longview, Texas, where my mom kept saying that I need to go to Catholic church. So I would go to a Protestant church in the morning for Sunday service, and then a Catholic church in the evening. And then there was a little room on the side everybody went to, seems like, at the end of Mass. So I popped in there, and I didn't know what people were doing. Mm. They're sitting in the pew and looking at something, and then I wasn't really interested because it was... And so, but there was a little restroom down the hallway. I went there, and then there was a little library. And at the library, I borrowed a VHS of Our Lady, the Miracle of Our Lady Fatima, of 1950s movie.
Okay.
And then so I watched it back at the apartment, and it just like light bulb went off. And then, of course, the whole Fatima is not only about the rosary, but it's about the Eucharist, because...
Yes.
The angel prepared those three children to help them to receive worthily the Eucharist, and then the prayer, of course, other than "Oh my Jesus, forgive us" at the end of the rosary, but they also taught the children about reparation for sins against the Eucharist, and how we don't recognize and we don't love Him in that. But I, it was only later and later in my life, my faith journey, that I realized I was an adoration chapel. And so that little time, irreverent time that I spent that I didn't recognize in that chapel, yet still had the effect in my life.
Mm.
And He spoke to me in ways that I did not understand at that moment. And so I'm truly, surprised by all those moments I fall asleep in adoration.
Yes, yes.
And all the times I feel like I have so many million things going in my mind, mm-hmm. and yet Jesus somehow finds a way to speak to me. And I know, people come to confession talking about, Father, I feel like I sinned by not, paying attention in adoration, mm-hmm. and falling asleep in adoration. But, my life experience is all about Jesus speaking to me even when my mind is in a Walmart. Even while sitting in the adoration, my mind was everywhere else, and yet Jesus speaks to the heart.
Wow.
No matter what circumstances and situation in my life mm-hmm. is. I once had an experience at Holy Sepulchre in Holy Land in Jerusalem.
Yes.
And at the Chapel of Calvary, of course, today we were celebrating the Our Lady of Sorrows today.
Mm-hmm.
And all these streaming of people were going up the Calvary Chapel, and And then at the 12th station, which is when Jesus is crucified, and there they can dip their hand into the very spot where Jesus' cross stood. And people, you know, they're bowing, they're kissing, and they're hurriedly going going there. And kind of a question came to my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder if people get anything out of it by just, you know, visiting this place, you know, 1 minute, and they're whisked out of here, mm-hmm. and then go to the next itinerary on a bus to, you know, Dead Sea, you know, they get to go to. And then a little thought came to my mind, and perhaps it's Holy Spirit speaking, and said, whenever my children come to me, I change them. I grace them. And so no matter how small, and even though we're not disposed to the grace, mm-hmm. You know, Jesus finds a way to change us, wow. to grace us. And and I, you know, that's the wonderful thing about adoration, is that it's not so much us and my thought, my predisposition, and how I show up at an adoration, but it's just that I show up. And even if I fall asleep, sometimes, you know, I was consoled to find out that, you know, even St. Teresa of Lisieux, the little flower, falls asleep mm-hmm. praying the rosary, yeah. praying before the Blessed Sacrament. But she had this beautiful image that really consoled me, which is that even a little child falls asleep in her mama's arms. Mm-hmm. And the mama has nothing but a beautiful and touching gaze upon her child who's sleeping.
Yes.
And that, I feel like how Jesus sees us when we arrive at adoration, tired, frazzled, restless, just all out of sorts of place. Mm-hmm. And yet this good, gentle Jesus looks at us with such tender love and mercy, regardless of the condition of our mind and our heart.
That's beautiful. What a beautiful image. And thank you so much for your encouragement. What would you say to people who have never been to adoration to encourage them to visit?
Well, first, I think it would be their curiosity should at least give Jesus 1 minute.
Yes, yes.
You know, just
yes.
1 minute, just sit there. And I think this is what... moms do for children who whom they want to introduce adoration to. They kind of coax them, saying, you know, if you come sit for, you know, 2-3 minutes, yes. I'll go buy you an ice cream.
There you go.
and somehow it works, you know, with little kids.
That's right.
But I think the same thing works for us. We're no different than little kids.
That's
you know,
right.
We want some reward on some on end. And if we just spend that 1-2 minutes, and then, and perhaps just surprise us, you know, mm-hmm. Let Jesus surprise us. And we may spend a few more minutes there,
or
we may just bolt out of there. It's boring. But even then, those 1 minute, we have received something that we cannot explain.
Beautiful.
And,
Father Paul yeah. Yee is pastor of St. George Catholic Church in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Father Paul, would you leave us with a closing prayer and blessing?
I certainly will.
Thank you.
I'm going to say, I'm going to read a little prayer from St. Faustina, who had a great devotion to the Blessed Sacrament.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. O hidden Jesus, eternal love, our source of life, in that you forget yourself and only seeing us. Before creating heaven and earth, you carried us in the depths of your heart. O love, O depth of your basement, O mystery of happiness. Why do so few people know you? Why is your love not returned, O divine love? Why do you hide your beauty? O infinite one, beyond all understanding, the more I know you, the less I comprehend you. O living host, O hidden Jesus, you see the condition of myself. May your name be praised forever and ever. And may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Father Paul Yee. We're so blessed to have you with us this morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Katie Prejean McCready joins us, the Catholic foodie, Mary Constantine, and Father Jeffrey Kirby. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.